This program is brought to you by P1 Australia, quality racing components, and manufacturers of engine water heaters for midgets, sprints, wingless, and all types of open-wheel dirt track cars. Check out their full range today at p1australia.com.
Thunder Media.
Hi, I'm Jack LeBrock.
Hi, I'm David Reynolds.
Hi, I'm Chaz Mostert, and you're listening to Inside Supercars.
From the racetracks across Australia, and here's Inside Supercars.
Coming up on this episode of Inside Supercars.
It's a hard luck qualifier. I think you've seen people being third and then people being 10th in the next qualifying. Even Chaz, you know, I think he was second and then he was 9th or 10th. So it's a really hard one. We've got one set of five and one lap to be consistent.
The category depth is really strong, and that's what I love about it, because age is a number, and obviously, when you get older, you have different traits, and when you're young, you know, guys like Matt, they're coming in the category experience. They're not coming in like the old days where young blokes made a lot of mistakes. So, like, they don't make mistakes, they're ready to go, they're younger experience.
Especially racing in Europe, the levels have definitely risen there, and even in Australia, like, you're getting 350, 400 people turning up to an actual karting event, and they're, you know, probably 30 or 20 in a class have a good chance of winning.
So sit back and enjoy as Inside Supercars starting now.
Race 4 coming, second race of the weekend. We'll do it in Melbourne Super Sprint. New face in the middle today, but he was up here yesterday as well. Will Brown, back to the top spot. You got a good trading off to start the year. Tell us about that race, sir.
Yeah, it was great to get the lead off the start. I knew I had to get past Cam pretty quickly to, you know, save the tyres around here. It's pretty hot day, actually, on track today. So I wanted to get the lead and be able to maintain it from there, and got a really good start, and then managed to do that the whole time while all these guys had a lot of fun scrapping behind me. So I was actually enjoying watching it.
Yesterday it seemed like you guys were getting faster as the race went on. Today it looked like, you said, with the surface being warmer and everything, and it was a little bit, probably a bit more tire conservation in it. Was that the whole plan along the way, or were you actually pushing throughout?
Yeah, I was pushing fairly hard. Well, I was conserving as well, most like a fair bit of the time, but towards the end got going, that's for sure. It's sort of hard, I think, you know, if you push too hard in those early couple of laps. You saw a couple of guys push the tyres yesterday, and I think there was a couple today from what I've heard. So, you know, you got to manage it while being fast, and yeah, I was managing the tyres while being as fast as I could doing that.
You had rolled reverse today. Brock Reed down the majority of the race, and you would have seen him slide by the second last corner. Like I said, rolled reverse. How are you doing with that? Well, you saw him skate wide, what were you thinking?
Yeah, just did the same as yesterday, just rolls reversed. But yeah, at the end of the day, he made a little mistake, unfortunately, and you know, we didn't get a 1-2 like yesterday. So sure, we'll have a look at that. I'm not sure exactly what happened. I think he just locked up and these two got by. So yeah, very disappointing for him, but good day for us overall. Yeah, I think qualifying's crucial. I think, you know, we saw in the last two races sort of how the guy out front can manage it, and also just being in clean air, you don't get the tyre degradation. So it's a hard luck to qualify at. I think you've seen people being third and then people being 10th in the next qualifying. Even Chaz, you know, I think he was second and then he was 9th or 10th. So it's a really hard joint with only one set of tyres and one lap to be consistent. So hopefully tomorrow I can qualify well and stay up the front.
So now, right, you want to understand, plenty of success here in the past. I'm sure it's good to have another trophy back.
Yeah, it was really cool. The race is ridiculous. the passes and the urgency and the chaos going on. It's actually really good fun because we're all pushing as hard as we can. There's not really anyone taking each other out. It's to the limit, and you know, it's cars four wide, bombing down the inside, switchbacks, like it's just so much going on. So I think that's the best racing we've seen in this category for a long time. So to be up the pointy end and not getting hit in the rear at the start or in that concertina thing was nice. And from there, you can race from the front. If you're up the front, it makes a big difference. So, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, Matt was fast at points, and then Deep 12's there, and LeBrock's there, and I don't know, they're all over the place. And then these two in front just go fast, go slow, go fast, go slow. So there's a fair bit going on, but to be up and get a trophy for Charlie and the team, he spent a lot of money and recruiting and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, you got to get reward, and that was, yeah, a really good result. I think the tyre degrading is big. I think also the fact that you don't pit, because normally if you're behind someone, they bring you in short fill or long fill and put you in a gap and you artificially pass them. But here, if you're in the pack, and also qualifying is out of sync, because one lap, you know, you're getting guys out of place effectively. It's making a big difference too. But when you want to pass someone, you've got to pass them on track. And that's a lot different to an engineer telling you, we'll get you out early, clean air, just cruise around and pass 10 cars in the pits if you're fast enough, and it's all done on track. So I think the non-pits has been, although controversial, I think it's mega for the races. So it's always pros and cons to some decisions, and I think races, people are disappointed with that race, and you know, you're hard to please, because it's yeah, really good.
You talked about that a second ago, a lot of change internally within the team. Clearly, Rick Ward's very late. Can you speak to what's new or different about the dynamic going on in the team?
We've had a lot of new people, but you know, everyone's played a role, and you know, obviously Dave at Bathurst was really, really quick. I thought, you know, he came out the gate so strong, and him and Krusty work well together. And then I've got Som, who's new to the team. Adrian Burgess is you know, running the team, and then data engineers and mechanics, and the list goes on. So yeah, thankfully we were a bit more competitive here than we were at Bathurst, obviously, and it just takes time. But when Dave went so good at Bathurst, pressure's on, because the standard was he qualified third, I think, provisional, and it's like that's where you expect to be when you set it really quickly. So you know, we're very lucky with who we've got, and it takes time, and you don't want to get carried away with results, because it does take time. But when you do get a result, it makes all the hard work definitely more rewarding, and helps Charlie when he's spending money. It's a little bit easier to spend when you're going on.
And Matt, yesterday, the youngest podium in Supercross history here today. Let's say the more experienced ones that are up there having another crack, you speak to the fact that there is still, you know, so much variety and competitiveness in the category between teams and drivers.
Yeah, I didn't know that stat, but that's a really good stat. Well done. But I don't know, like, I think, you know, the category depth is really strong, and that's what I love about it, because age is a number, and obviously, you know, when you get older, you have different traits, and when you're young, you know, guys like Matt, they're coming in the category experience. They're not coming in like the old days where young blokes made a lot of mistakes. So, like, they don't make mistakes. They're ready to go. They're young, they're experienced. So, yeah, it's great for the category, but not good for us, because I want the young blokes that didn't have experience that made a lot of mistakes. They're too fast now to experience, but it's great for the sport. Up some Brock and Brian Wood and all the guys coming through. It's good, but nah, age is a number, so they're on track. It doesn't mean anything, really.
Looking over third place again. Matt Pack back on the podium. Again, in all the craziness on track together, you want to pick the team out with the trophy. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good actually. I was pretty far down at some points of that race at the start. So, yeah, probably didn't quite get the start I wanted. I probably made a few bad decisions trying to hang on the outside. And as we saw yesterday, you just get brake trained if you're left to hang on the outside. So, yeah, we had car speed to come through, and, you know, it's difficult here because you have to just pick the right time to try and make a move on the car in front, because everyone is sort of conserving tyres a little bit at the start. You could feel like you've got a really fast race car, but everyone else is just driving slower than you, so it's hard to sort of work out whether or not you need to conserve. But it's fun racing, like, as Frosty said, you know, it's just battles everywhere, there's switchbacks, there's people firing on the inside. I think the track's so wide that you just have so many people just looking for opportunity, and it does make for some really fun racing. It's bad if you're on the wrong end of it, but yeah, I enjoy it. It was you know, pretty hard at the end there with Brock going wide. I didn't actually realise it was Brock, it was Will. I was racing you the whole time. But yeah, it was fun. I just managed to hold him off. It was super close, but yeah, it's sort of like Crossy touched on. It's racing that we've never done for a long time without any pit stops. You know, it's just you're the one that has to manage it on the track. It sort of changed so much within a couple of laps from people starting to push on and then people starting to back off. So it's difficult, but you just got to bide your time and pick the right moves and yeah, just get some clean air for the front time, especially.
So, did you think it was different today, earlier slot time for the race, and obviously the circuit being people run in? Did you notice any difference behind the
back today? I thought it was a little bit slower. I know the times were a little bit slower. Definitely, it was a little bit hotter, so I think we were moving around a little bit more. But for me, I was actually surprised. Like the first sort of 5 laps or so, the track felt really good. I think it was probably from the rubber from the previous session, and then our rubber sort of takes over, and it kind of just... It's a snowball effect from there, and we get more tidy as it sort of goes down. So, yeah, it does make it a little bit different.
And we get up here in the second day in a row, but still that deep race slot. What have you learned so far to try to chip in to get into a start? And what are you still looking for?
I think it's probably just my starts. Like, the actual start, I guess, probably not so bad. Definitely needs to be improved, but I just fall back too far at the start, and then I make it up for myself the rest of the race. So, I probably, if I could, you know, stay up in front and could stay for my half or something like that, you know, you don't know what could happen. And then punched up 5 or 6 times there in front. So, you know, it feels like it's anyone's race, but it's not at the same time. So, yeah, I probably just need to work on my starts and try and be a bit more decisive in those first few laps.
I think they race a lot. You know, someone like Matt raced all over the world before he raced supercars. I think he could probably explain it better than me, but they roll in ready to go. I think when I come in, I was really raw. I think I was fast, but made a lot of mistakes that these guys don't make now. It's different. I think, you know, Matt's obviously a standout. He's one that I know Michael is a guy that looks after him quite well and been watching him for a while. He's a standout young guy. So whether it's just young guys or some in particular, but you know, they come in ready to go. Like, I think the categories, the depth and racing all over the world, and Super 2 stepped up as well. You know, back in the day, we had reverse grid races. It was there were a couple of good cars, not a full field of good cars. Now we've got Tipford running them, AAA run them, Eggleston, and the list goes on. So I think you're working with higher level as well from younger age. So probably lots of factors, but whether it's just a crop that's come through that are just a bit more switched on, or but yeah, they're really good.
And that's the least experienced crop. Does he have anything to add to that experience? Just on that last question about why the young crop is going to switch
on. Yeah, I think it's probably, you know, I think karting has probably stepped up hugely from sort of the last 20 years all over the world. Like, I know, especially racing in Europe, the level's definitely risen there, and even in Australia, like, you're getting 350, 400 people turning up to an actual karting event, and they're, you know, probably 30 or 20 in a class have a good chance of winning. So the level is so competitive, and it makes you a better driver, and people, you know, are willing to do a lot more racing now than probably they were back in the day. So I think the accessibility is probably a little bit better. I know that the costs are certainly probably higher now, which makes it hard for, you know, natural talent to come through if it doesn't have the funding it needs. But yeah, like Frosty said, Super 2 has definitely stepped up. Even I know when I raced, it was difficult, it was competitive, and it's good to see all of these teams sort of coming back and wanting to sort of bring through some younger drivers. It's really good to see, and
yeah, I guess, you know, it's nice seeing some team owners give young people an opportunity. Like myself, I was very grateful for the Groves that to give me my opportunity to sort of showcase what I can do. And they definitely knew what they were doing in terms of, you know, getting me to do more racing and making sure that I was ready before I started, and I made all my mistakes in Super 2. So, yeah, it's probably a little bit of a new breed coming through, but it's all to do with the culture around the sport all over the world. And it's not just happening in Australia. It's all over the world. Like, it's a good example of Kimi Antonelli going straight to F2. Like, I don't think anyone would have done that. Apart from Nick Verstappen, probably no one would have done that back in the day. And he's just so talented that they have the confidence to do that. And it's a lot of pressure on someone, but, you know, they're good enough to perform.
And for all of you, but shorter races, the next two, so 4 8 laps instead of 19, not we get that. You've learned a bit about advertising performing now. Do you think the tempo of the next two races this weekend will change?
Yeah, I personally think they will. 14 laps, if anything happens as well, like a bit of a delay, they can be less. So I think everyone will be pushing as hard as they can in the next race, that's for sure. I think, you know, there are a few people that have had blisters, but I think that the shorter races, everyone's going to have a crack for sure.
Well, I think the Formula 1 rubber 2 is going to go down, so I think that makes qualifying evident tomorrow. Like, the biggest session of the weekend is Saturday morning quality. It's got 14 laps, and safety car comes out, you might only have 6 laps, and if we get delayed, you might only have 10. So it's, if you're leading the race, you've only got to defend for half potentially distance today. So qualifying's key. If you get up the front, it's going to make life a lot easier. So that's already everyone's focus, has to be qualified to frame. Start the back, you, it's not long enough to do that.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, I think he's always touched on pretty well. I think everyone's going to be pushing a little bit harder. I think I'd really like to see, you know, 14 laps flat out, just go as fast as you can and see what happens. But yeah, obviously the tyres are doing their thing and you're managing them the whole race, so it's going to be interesting. But yeah, like, there could be safety car. It hasn't even been a safety car yet, so, you know, high chance there is in the next two races, and that changes everything. It gets crazy on restarts here, even just in normal racing, so it's going to be entertaining.
Well done on the result. You touched on soft before your engineer. He's a first year engineer and got on the podium pretty early. Can you just talk a bit more about working with him and what that's been like?
Yeah, Som's really good. It's so hard to find engineers. They're really, really difficult. First thing people do is go and offer another team one that they like and give them money, which doesn't always work. And then second, you've got to go and try and find someone who's raw with a lot of potential. And, you know, Adrian saw that in Som, and so did Charlie and the team. And he's very clever, very technical driven. So his biggest thing he's struggling with at the moment is just radio comms and stuff like that, because it's not natural, you know, with all the spreadsheet stuff and data and motive, whatever, all that stuff's pretty easy for him to understand. But just chatting like at Bathurst, he chatted to me from literally skyline to the last corner, and I'm like, and you can't override him. So just basic stuff is not natural to him at the moment. But, you know, I think someone like him is very calm. He understands the car through data. So now, you know, when we won Darwin, we didn't understand why we won. We just won a race, and that was it. Now we're starting to understand through data what the car is doing, which sounds stupid that we weren't in that position, but now we understand that he's very clever in that part. So it's helping us understand the car. He's been really good. So I'm lucky that he come on board. And obviously Jeff Slater too is a great guider as well. So we've just got calm people in the garage that are clever, that have a lot of potential. So let's hope that no one offers us any money in terms of coaching when we get them up. Hit him up, but no, you did a great job.
And Matt, can you just talk through that contact that you had with any time, whether there was any damage to your car?
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that, because I had like 2 spokes missing out of my right front wheel, so I don't even know how it held together. But yeah, I guess I can't even really remember what happened, but I think I was on the outside at 3 and wasn't really willing to give up my spot. He was sort of crowding me out, so sort of said, I'm going to pitch it in here. And it's kind of weird because we locked wheels and then the steering just completely came out of my hands, and that's why we ended up running so wide. And yeah, it was a bit of a hard hit. I didn't feel any damage after it, but I was pretty lucky to make it home on that wheel, I think.
Inside Supercars is produced by Thunder Media. Tune in next time for more. Or lock in the podcast on your iTunes or mobile device. Search Inside Supercars. The views expressed on Inside Supercars, including the panelists and guests, do not reflect the views of the network, Thunder Media, or Sport Radio. Any publication or rebroadcast of the show without the expressed written permission of Thunder Media is strictly prohibited. Join in the conversation, post your thoughts on our Facebook page, and to ask a question, email insiders@sportradio.com.au.
This program is brought to you by P1 Australia, quality racing components, home of Black TI, bolts, kingpins, studs, and torsion stops. Check out their full range today at p1australia.com.